Begin transmission.
You are listening to Corellian Run Radio, your route through hyperspace to the latest news on Star Wars: The Old Republic.
Hi, and welcome to Corellian Run Radio. This is episode number 99. That's right, 99 episodes. 99 bottles of beer. Oh, I'm sorry, wrong podcast. And we are recording Monday, June the 24th, 2013. And this is our extra special episode. It's our Writers Roundtable. And poor Mayor logged on long enough to cough all over us. She's so sick, she won't be here. But we do have Jason. Hello, Jason.
Hello, hello, everybody.
And we have John, a.k.a. Ghost.
Ooh, Ghost.
That's right.
Here in the house.
The Ghost is in the house. And, of course, we have my ever-trusted companion, Drew.
Hello. I'm trusted? Awesome.
Trusted.
That's a mistake.
Uh-oh. Should
I
be worried?
What I want to know is, what is this 99 Bottles of Beer podcast you're talking about?
Where can I get some of this?
Exactly.
Like, wrong podcast. Oh, that sounds like the right podcast to be on.
Yeah, it is. It is. It is. It is. Oh, so how has everybody been this last month? Let's start with you, Jason. What have you been doing for a whole month?
Well, I got my sniper to level 55, so I'm happy about that. Enjoying that. Very happy. I love the ending. Very different ending than what I thought it was, but good. Been enjoying playing the game. Also enjoying the summer, warmer weather, and finally lack of rain in this area. So,
wow.
Much.
All right. Hey, John, what about you?
Oh, I've been, actually, real life been keeping me busy. I actually start a new job tomorrow.
Oh, yay.
But other than that, it's just like a lot of kid stuff. Since it's summer, I got to take care of all that. Had been playing up until we've been working on some Nightmare stuff, but until last week, and unfortunately our group had to break up. But I will go into that further down and during discussions.
Okie dokie. Drew? I just talked to you, so I know what you've been up to.
Well, what if the listeners want to know?
Well, they know because we talked about it over the last couple of weeks.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, is school finally over for you?
No. No, actually, I have a firm date. I'm defending my thesis now. It's August 6th. Wait, yeah, 6th. I should get that right. I really need to know that.
That would be an important date.
Yes, so I will be done August 7th, and I will be free to continue working on my thesis and doing format changes. But at least I defend it on the 6th, and that's the hard part. So.
Oh, and then yep. What happens after that? What's the next step after you polish it and do all that? I mean, are you almost finished with school?
Finished with my master's,
mm-hmm.
But I'm going to start my doctorate in chemical education in the fall. And so I'll be doing that for the next 3 years, but it'll be kind of more of a, I don't know, it'll be less stressful because, you know, the end of a degree is always more stressful than kind of the beginning in the middle. So I'm not too, I'll actually have a lot more time on my hands after the master's, even though I'll be taking more classes and stuff. It's not as hard, that's for sure.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, so aside from that, just a little bit of Star Wars. The double XP weekends are nice. And that's it.
Yay. That sounds like enough. You made me tired just listening. Work, work, and more work. Actually, we have been putting stuff up from our garden. Our garden has been really producing really well. I've gotten peas and cucumbers and tomatoes and peppers and all kinds of beans, and it's going really well. And for the very first time, I grew sunflowers, and we actually harvested our first sunflower the other day. And I have all these little sunflower seeds that we put up, so it was kind of cool.
That sounds good.
It was.
Best thing, those tomatoes that are still warm from the sun. That's like the best thing in the world.
I think that you cannot get anything better than fresh tomatoes that, and by the way they taste. I've tried buying them in the stores. They just don't taste the same.
Nope. They taste more like water in the stores.
Yeah.
They taste a lot more flavorful in the garden.
They do. They do. And I love to get those little Roma tomatoes. My husband has grown a lot of those. And they're so sweet and they're small. And you eat them like fruit. So.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've got my little chickens. I'm a cheeky mama. I have, 20 baby chicks.
Wow.
Wow.
So, anyway, I've been busy working. When it's not at work, you know, the 8-to-5 work, it's working at home with that sort of stuff. So, anyway, let's just jump right on in. First question of the evening. Have you done Nightmare TFB? And that's Terror from Beyond, for those that don't know. And if
everybody turns to ghost.
So what do you think, if you have?
We started it. We got through a Writhing Horror, and I don't know if you'd heard about this issue with the Dread Guards, where during on the public test, it was manageable. It was doable. But come live, they increased the health of the Dread Guards by quite a substantial amount, where the current gear level wasn't enough to actually clear that boss. And for quite some time, nobody from BioWare said anything. Not even we're looking into it. Nothing. And that I think put off a lot of my team. That mixed with the fact that it was TFB again, because we've been doing it for 9 months now, and for the most part, they'll add one or two new mechanics, but increase boss health and make them hit harder and release it. That seems to be the philosophy of these new rehashed raids. And so it was a little frustrating. We went on to the next bosses, but really it was we could kind of switch back to hard mode just to get past to see continue on. And the rest of it was we think doable, but I think we had a lot of stuff going on. One of the gals on our team, she was starting law school, so she would have to quit soon. The raid leader was starting a job that would coincide with the raid time, so he was going to quit. And rather than trying to fill in people, we decided, all right, let's go ahead and call it quits, because some of us, even myself, were really only coming on just so that others could raid or to do operations. At the point, there was no enjoyment for us. It was just we were just there to so that other people can play, and that was the fun part. It was just because it was our team. That's why we stuck with it so long. That's why we did so well. But after doing some research, it turns out that a certain group composition would allow you to beat the Dread Guards with current gear set. But we had probably the worst group composition you can have. We had three melee, none of which were really the best. We weren't bad. I mean, we do some good numbers. We just aren't at very top. I mean, strategy wise, we could we'll learn strategies. But when it comes down to having the numbers, if you don't have that combination, and it was very similar with Warlord Kephas and EC Nightmare, you needed a certain combination really to defeat it, and we just decided, let's go ahead and call it quits here. And so we are now retired.
Oh, no. Well, let me ask you this. Do you feel that in this game that melee DPS kind of get the shaft?
I wouldn't just say this game. I mean, I played Warcraft before, and it was difficult for melee for a lot of times. But occasionally, you'd have fights where being range was a detriment, and fights where you had to group in and stack. I mean, melee's right there, so it was really easy.
Right.
So anyway, there are certain fights. It really wasn't. It wasn't necessarily melee was a disadvantage. It was just the group composition on certain fights would work. For example, I believe the groups that the trends that we were seeing that were defeating the Dread Guards were three ranged and one melee, and that one melee was more often than not a Marauder. Just so that they can get the or a Marauder or a Sentinel, not Sentinel. I'm forgetting the names of the Republic side, but anyway, so they can get the extra damage. But yeah, there's a lot of movement in this fight, so a lot of times melee's really, unless they have a lot of instantaneous attacks, they're at a disadvantage.
Well, what I find, you know, interesting about all of this is the fact that I thought that makeup was not going to be as important in this game. In other words, I thought you could take some really whacked out combinations and have the same type of gear as someone that had the perfect group makeup, whatever that is, and you'd be on equal footing. Now, I can see where if you overstacked a certain class, maybe like if you were all melee, you know, that except for your healer or whatever, I could see where maybe that wouldn't work. But you're in an 8-man group, right?
Right.
And so, you had two tanks, two healers,
one range, three melee, operative, power tech, and a marauder.
I mean, I can see like in the SOA fight, you know, there was if you had a Sage healer back when it was kind of hard, that was great for the SOA fight,
right?
Because, you know, going down the platforms was super easy, but you could manage it with other healers. And this one you're saying is, it doesn't matter if you're not, it doesn't matter if you have the right gear, you can't manage it unless you have the optimal group. Or at least it's just like so near impossible, it's not fun.
And it's not. Because, partially is because of positioning, and it's not. I think a fight shouldn't be based on how much DPS you can do. It should be based on strategy, movement, position, getting to objectives, doing things at the right time. Kind of very much like the Operator 9 fight, which is a lot of fun. That kind of thing. That should be what makes or breaks a boss kill. It shouldn't purely be, do you have enough DPS? And that's what it really came down to on the Dread Guards. Can you put out enough DPS to get them down? Because strategy wise, I mean, really, honestly, nothing really changed. They have more health. They hit harder. I think the only thing that changed is on the last boss where there's an extra drop that you have to avoid. But it's just a DPS race, and. If you don't have that purely just the numbers, you cannot beat it. Yeah, it was disappointing, but it's one of those things.
Well, I should note the patch notes for tomorrow's patch have mentioned that the enrage timer for the Dread Guard has been increased by 30 seconds, so that might help a little bit. But it sounds like it's still kind of, 30 seconds is not that much.
It would probably help, but we were getting to phase two, three, towards the last boss, but it still was quite a bit away.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I just think that's very frustrating, especially knowing now that your group is busting up, and because of frustration, and real life got into the, you know, some of them anyway, but to be frustrated with the process after giving it your heart and soul, you know, I just, it kind of tears at my heart because I'm a raider and I love raiding, and I don't want to see you guys, you know, give up because of, you know, something that's mechanically wrong. And that's what this feels like. This feels like, you know, something's broken and they're having to, especially now that they said they're going to add more time to the fight or whatever, that something's mechanically wrong. And I hate to see that happen. But that kind of leads us into another question, and this is not one that's on our list of questions, and that is, do you think you would be bored and are struggling or you know, bust up if you had more content? I mean, how do you feel about the fact that they're releasing just different hardnesses of...
That's exactly it. I think that's what you hit the nail on the head. That is probably the biggest factor that we... that caused us to just say, all right, that's enough. Because it is nine-month-old content, we're still doing the same thing. All they're doing was just rehashing it. That was the big nail in the coffin right there. If it was new and we were having trouble with it, oh, we would be at it. I mean, you know we would be at it. Because we would, I mean, we're just that way.
Right.
But it was combined with the fact that it was so, I think, poorly designed and the age of the content was really what made it really lose favor with us.
So, Ghost, I got a question. What would be, you know, as somebody with your experience in raiding and high-end raiding and high-end progression, what would be things you would like to see besides just fewer, I mean, we'd like to see the added content, but what are some things you would like to see in mechanics, in raids or operations that would possibly bring you back or maybe keep your group playing longer?
Don't get me wrong. Some of the fights are really well designed. I mean, when they were new, Terror from Beyond was a good operation. We all thoroughly enjoyed it. We thought it was well designed. It was challenging enough. Well, that's looking back on now. It could have been harder. But even in hard mode. But at the same time, it was challenging enough where it was mechanics that really made or break, especially like Kephis in TFB, because all the positioning and where you had to move them to put the pillars, that kind of stuff is great for people who enjoy that high-end rating, that progression stuff. So, because it really isn't the combination or the group combination or the numbers you put out, it's about the positioning, and you have to get these down in order to beat the boss, and you have to have the boss in a certain place. That kind of thing is really what I think progression raiders are really after, not just can you do the numbers.
Okay. Makes sense, because it's more about, you know, what it should be. It's about you guys communicating as a group to take down these bosses.
That's exactly it. Just teamwork is what it comes down to.
If you could give BioWare any feedback on, as a progression raider, and the level of content, I mean, because let's face it, we've all said that developers need to learn how gamers are gaming these days, and gamers have to have evolved in the way they play their content, because we're breaking off into more definitive type groups, whether you're, you know, a progression raider or a casual raider, or whether you're a PvE-er or a solo player. I mean, there are so many diversifications of players out there these days. But as a progression raider, And that's what I see you as. Is that what you see you as?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Okay. As a progression raider, what advice could you give a developer, specifically in this case BioWare, on the release of content that would keep you active, playing, interested, and having fun? Because there comes a certain time level, you know, or time period that you go, okay, yawn, bored, time to move on. And is their release of content, what they call content, the same thing that you call content? For example, they think that new operation content is releasing a different level of hardness, hard modeness of an instance. For example, Terror from Beyond and Nightmare Mode. They think that, okay, we've released story mode, and then we'll introduce into an update that they call an update, hard mode, you know, and then the next update, or, you know, 3 months down the road, they'll introduce nightmare mode. Do you see that as new content?
We did talk about this earlier, and I know what you're getting at, but yes, I mean, I'm sorry, no, that is not new. It's just different variations is not the same thing as new content. And if they revamp the fights, like, completely, I mean, if it was completely new mechanics, then maybe I could see it, because essentially there are new fights.
Mm-hmm.
But if you only change one or two things and just add health and damage dealing to the bosses, that doesn't constitute new content. That's just I don't know how to say this without sounding too
just spit it out.
Lazy.
I mean, yeah, no, I
didn't want to say it, but
I know. But I think that it is not our job to always be a fanboy. It's our job to tell it like we see it. And
absolutely. I've loved this game when it first came out. I defended it. I got all my friends to try it out. But I played this long, and I think I've done all I can to really, really want to love the game. And at this point, it's lost that sheen to me.
But
yeah, I can understand that.
Could they get? I mean, the point I guess I was trying to get at is, do you have a certain timeline on how your team, your progression team, masters content and would like to see new content? In other words, should it be on like a 3 month? You know, we need a new operation, or is it 4 months, or even 6 months? I mean, because I know how hard it is for developers to develop these operations. I mean, it's not like they can just draw it and get it to you in a week, you know?
No, and that's fine. And I absolutely understand that. I know that it does take time to put out content to design these, not just the mechanics and the fights, but the whole world, the whole instance to... wherever the operation takes place. And we understand that, but at the same time, you can't come back 9 months and have the same thing. I would say even four to six months would be fine. At least maybe two new operations a year. That would be plenty. And have story and hard mode at the same time. And that's fine. At least it's just new stuff. Something to look forward to.
Right.
Go ahead.
Okay. Now, in the in-between times, if they would still do the same things they did with Nightmare Mode to maybe get you geared up for the operation they're working on in that time frame you said, would that be acceptable?
Oh, yeah. No, that's not a problem either. I mean, if you want to build up to it, I mean, if they can release the new stuff within those 6 months before the next operation is out, then sure, I'll accept a nightmare, extra nightmare mode in there in the meantime. But it's same thing as it was with EC. I mean, that was even worse because it only had four bosses in it. I mean, I do understand that there's a SNV Nightmare mode coming up, and I don't know. I think maybe they should have just skipped with the TFB Nightmare and just gone straight to the Scum and Villainy Nightmare and made that the new stuff.
I can see that in a way their Nightmare modes are coming so late. And that's what you're saying here is, I mean, like you said, it's been 9 months since TFB launched, that you've kind of had your fill of TFB. So having to do that to proceed in your progression, that does feel like a grind. And it's not as if I don't understand why Nightmare mode can't come out at the same time as the others personally. But I mean, if it's just a, you know, scaling of health and damage, you know.
Yeah, it's, well, I mean, it is what it is, and it is. It's just one of those things that we
Alrighty, well, yeah, we've kind of beat that one up, and not intentionally. I just want, you know, our listeners, and I want BioWare to understand that we want them to succeed, and we want them, you know, to keep providing great content and stuff. But personally, I mean, I'm just going to say it from a personal perspective. I don't see a rehashing of introducing a hard mode or a nightmare mode an update. I mean, that's not what I see as an update. I mean, if it wants to be part of an update, that's cool. But you better, you know, to me, an update is something bigger. And that, I'm kind of like, those should be all released at the same time.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got three different levels of people you're trying to cater to. You're trying to cater to the solo players that like to pug and do story mode. You're trying to cater to the not so hardcore, but people that like to have fun and want to do it and can do hard mode. And then you want those progressive raiders that are doing nightmare mode. You're going to lose them, like we have this progressive team, because it took them 9 months to get content out.
And actually, I do want to make a statement here. I am not quitting the game. We are just stopping progression rating. I am still going to be logging in, playing on occasion as more casual, helping out my guild as a fill-in. But we are no longer going after just the high end content. So that's what I do want to make that clear. I'm not quitting the game.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Next question. Have you seen the new gear? And if so, what do you think?
I'll go first on this one. It basically looks like the same gear reskinned. Am I wrong?
Nope.
Okay, the weapons are kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But my question is, how long can BioWare get away with, and this is not really, I'm not trying to say this with malice or anything, but how long can they get away with doing reskins color-wise of their gear and calling them new sets if they have dye packs now?
Well, now, do we know for sure if there's a dye module open on some of these?
Well, they're not going to be the exact same, you can just color them the way you want. I mean, that's...
If they have a dye module open.
Yeah.
Well, I looked at
I think everything.
Yeah. I looked at the new armor, and I didn't see anything that knocked my socks off. I mean, I would really like something that looks different, and these do just look like different colors of the same armor that we've seen before, and that's not being negative, that's just telling this what it looks like to me, you know. I don't see much change on it. I do see some slight changes, but for the most part there's not a lot of change. I mean, I want to see something different, and I know it's hard for them to do some of that stuff, because I know that, you know, I visited, you know, the BioWare studios, and I saw hundreds and hundreds of armor already pre-made back prior to launch, so I know that they've got a lot of this done, you know, but maybe they ought to rethink some of that.
Yeah. I mean, I have to agree with Drew. I mean, some of the new weapons they're bringing into the game are really cool, and they've got some really neat effects. and these are look really cool looking and really nice. Why can't they, you know, make some slight changes? Or, you know, what I mean, I've never, wasn't there supposed to be this whole new type of system coming out with some of the gear and armor?
The scrolling UVs.
The scrolling UVs.
Whatever that meant.
Whatever that meant. We never
got clarification. Yeah, I think that's what they called it.
Yeah, and then we never got clarification on it. See, I personally thought that it was going to be some kind of moddable thing where, you know, on top of your thing where you got the drop for, say, like, Ghost got the drop for his power tech, but maybe he wanted the look of something, a different class or something like that. I kind of thought that may be what it was going to be. But I don't know. It just, to me, it looks like we're getting, you know, reskinned armor, and that's not piling on BioWare. It's just pointing out the obvious.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and I don't know. We'll have to look for that sometime. Maybe they wasn't quite ready and they weren't ready to announce it or something, that new cosmetic thing. But we'll have to see when that does hit. I do like the general look of these new armor sets. I think that they're more akin to the trilogy.
Right.
So yes. I think qualitatively speaking about the entire new Arcanian Underworld and Keldragon sets, I think they look cool. I just don't. I don't know how long they can get away with now that they have color dyes. Before this, color changing the colors and calling them a new set was okay because we didn't have color dyes. But now that we do, I don't know how long you can do that. This may be the last set they can do that on it without having a big outcry from the community.
Could be.
Yeah, I agree because the colors look great, but I can get a color and change that anyway.
Yeah.
Yep.
Alrighty, next question. Have you noticed a difference in a Warzone backfilling since the patch? Drew?
Yes. I think that it's actually a pretty good change. Specifically, to kind of recap what's specifically going on, two changes were made. One was the addition of a new medal that's specifically for reinforcements. So if you backfill into a match, that is, come into a match after someone has left. So the match has already been going, has already started, and you come in, it'll automatically give you one medal, which means you will get rewards for that war zone, regardless of what happens. A lot of problems were happening where people would come into a match late, didn't have time to get a medal, and so they would literally get nothing for their time. And that kind of sucks.
Yeah, it does.
And the second change they made is they changed how war zones will backfill. They won't backfill after a certain cutoff point. And that differs depending on the war zone. For example, in Hutball, which lasts 13 minutes, if it's past 10 minutes, so you only have 3 minutes left, it doesn't backfill. So in 3 minutes, you know, a 6-2 game or 5-2 game probably couldn't be changed. So I could kind of see that. And then some of the others have similar things, but with different qualifications. Like, for example, Alderaan Civil War is when you have twice as much score. When one team has twice as much score as another team, then it doesn't backfill, because after that point, as anyone knows who plays Alderaan Civil War, you have to 3-cap the entire war map to actually win, and that's almost impossible. So wow. It's things like that where it's like the point of no return, this game's going to end this way. It doesn't want to stick people on the losing team. So I think it's a good change overall.
That's good. Yeah, I was really I don't like getting into a match that's already in progress, but it's really bad if you get in and it's really all but a lost match and you're in the last few seconds or whatever. So, yeah, I'm glad to see that they've made some changes, and I hope that they continue to do so. All right, up next, what do you think about the clarification on macros? And this was for a gold post that was posted by Philip Holmes, who is head of security for BioWare. He posted this, and we have linked it to from TarWars.com. So we'll link you back over there about what he said and what they've said. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, he had several posts actually talking about this, but going back and forth because people kept questioning what exactly is a macro that I can do and this and that. What classifies one that goes against the basically service agreement everybody signed with, you know, BioWare when they installed the game. I see where they're coming from. I agree with it. Of course, I also question BioWare teaming up with a company like Razer who makes a keyboard that can create macros on the keyboard and doing it. And I'm no BioWare. I'm not piling on you. I'm seriously not here. But I don't know. In this day and age, I mean, it's really hard to prevent a lot of that. I do like to see him trying to make, especially because it's really, I mean, Drew probably can attest to this, it really comes down to PvP because that's where people are really trying to use this stuff and making it, use it as an exploit to basically get a win.
I didn't even know it was against terms of service.
Nope.
I mean, because, I mean, a lot of external hardware, have these little macro functionalities to them. So, I mean,
well, and certain types of macros aren't against terms of service. And later in that thread, he actually kind of clarified of certain ones that were okay. It basically comes down to one action per keystroke. And when it comes to text, anything that's not a decisive advantage. For example, you can't have buttons. And I thought about doing this, but I never use my Logitech keyboard. But I thought about at one point, I have a little sidebar with macros. I thought about putting text warnings like incoming west, incoming east, incoming grass, incoming snow, things like that, or pass or something like that. You know, it's just so I can wouldn't have to type it out.
Right.
And it would save me probably like half a second.
Right.
Maybe, because I'm a fast typer anyway. But, you know, that is against this terms of service. Now, emotes are not. So, unless you spam them, and then you're a spammer, and you should
spam.
Yeah, so there's you know, the little subtle things. But I thought actually some of these ones that he specifically talked about later in this thread were actually pretty creative, like the hitting one button to do lots of right clicks, so you can get a ball really fast in the middle for hot ball. And we'll see, what was the other one that was really clever? Mapping same skills to one key. And I actually knew a guy who did this with their Sage. They would have a dot mapped to their key, and they would also have telekinetic throw mapped to that key. And because telekinetic throw had no cooldown in their spec, if they were running, it wouldn't throw telekinetic throw, and it would just use the dot. And if they were standing still, it would use telekinetic throw instead. So it was kind of clever, but I guess that was against terms of service. I've never used them, but I thought it was clever.
If it allows you to keybind it, though, is that... I don't know.
He said anytime one single key is mapped to one ability, that's fine.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, I have my... You know, I might have a keybind set up, so when I hit a button, it targets my nearest enemy. That's okay. Because that's actually a keybind in the program. You can make that. But anyway, it's just, it's very specific to PvP and to people who have external hardware. But it's a good thing one other thing. This was actually a pretty common problem, especially in ranked games. It was using an external program to program key clicks on the screen so you could instantly switch between specs.
Yeah.
Now, that's not cool.
No. Well, see, now, and of course, I hate bringing this up, but because I don't hold it as a crutch ever. But, you know, some of my limitations I have with my injury, sometimes I use a program, voice activated program, on some other things. But I heard it in the beginning, BioWare had made a strict stand on that. So I don't. Hardly ever. I used it a little bit in beta, but I don't hardly ever use any of the voice activated stuff because I don't want anybody or coming back and them looking like that I'm trying to do something to exploit something at all.
Yeah, I think if I were you in your situation, because it is unique, I think that I would just get clarification on that, and I think that you would probably be okay.
Oh, I'm sure it'd you know, pretty okay.
But. Yeah, because your situation is a little different, you know?
Yeah, personally, in my situation, I think razors, mouths should be outlawed, honestly. Let's just get that out of the way.
Yeah. Well, that and keyboards that do all those things. Yeah, I understand, but I'm one that uses a razor mouse, you know? So
if you guys could only use an index finger on each hand, I would totally own you guys.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Yeah, that is true. And so yours is really more, I mean, voice-activated stuff wouldn't be an unfair advantage. If anything, it just gets you up to the level of accessibility that everyone else has.
Right.
So it's, I don't know. I think that's, a special case. I mean, people who use that to do things that they shouldn't when they're perfectly capable of playing the game standard-wise.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I know. I don't want my game suspended at all. So
I don't blame you. I don't blame you.
Don't risk it. Yeah.
We just get clarification because we don't want to risk it anyway. We don't want to break any rules. All righty. Next question. What do you think of the Bounty Hunter event coming? Any predictions?
Ooh, I'm excited, actually. When they let up, because I was very disappointed in watching the live stream event. Sorry. I love E3, so I get into that. I watch the press conferences. And one thing I have to say, EA has their press conference. BioWare has their press conference. EA is still finishing up, and the BioWare thing already started. So I missed the first few minutes. So I had to watch the tape of it. But they made an announcement about something that was going to be a USB thing. I wasn't expecting much after the live stream event. But then to hear that they actually gave away this thing about this new Bounty Hunter event, I was like, oh, this is cool. I mean, it's going to be fully voiced. I think that is playing to what BioWare started out with. Their big strong suit being fully voiced, having, stuff. It gives me flashback to the Ratgull event, which was a long drawn out thing. So I am having my fingers crossed that this is going to be along that lines. And the whole Bounty Hunter thing fits right in with Star Wars lore. So I really like it. I think it's a good idea.
I think that the hangar decorations is one of the more unique things that I didn't expect to see coming, actually, because, come to think of it, it's perfect, because they've mentioned before that the reason inside ships aren't customizable is because a lot of cutscenes take place in there, and it would just, wreck havoc with the system because of that. Because they need a plan for it to look the same all the time. But the hangar is never really used, and there's plenty of room.
Yeah, I forgot about that. That is awesome. I heard that, and I was like, first I was like, hangar deck. And then it was like, oh, wait a minute, that's cool.
Now the question will be, is it just one hangar, like on the fleet? Or is it all the hangars? I mean, that's kind of weird if something travels with you, but... I mean, it depends on what it is, I guess. I don't know. If you had, a flight crew and, a portable weapons cabinet or something like that, maybe you could set that up in a hangar every time. Who knows?
Yeah. The ship droid flies ahead of you, decorates the hangar before you land and take off.
Yeah. Who knows? He's got to be useful for something.
Exactly.
I'm just disappointed that they didn't send that thumb drive with all that Bounty Hunter stuff to the fan sites.
I plan on getting one at Chicago. They're still sending out to the other ones. And they will be, at least that's the way I understand it, and that's going to be right before the event starts.
All right. Well, be sure and grab me one.
Heck. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Right. You are our messenger.
That's
right.
You are
our representative there. So we'll also, if anybody has questions, if any of the community, our listeners have questions, put them in the comments, and Jason will take them, and hopefully we can get some of them answered.
Yeah, that'll be fun. He's going to be the man with the plan, the man of the hour at Chicago.
Yep.
When is this event?
August 9th in Chicago, near the Rosemont, because that's where the Comic-Con in Chicago is going to be. So.
Cool. All right. Final question of the day. Arenas in 2.4. What do you think?
Yay, about time.
Surprised, actually. I was surprised, but excited.
Are you surprised that they just made an official stance on it, or are you just surprised that it's coming
out? Both, that they actually announced it, and then two, that they're actually doing it. Because I thought for the longest time, why didn't they have this in there? It would, 4-on-4, you've already set it up to where you can queue for War Zones that way anyway in a group of four. Why wouldn't you go ahead and, hey, we got four guys here. Oh, you got four guys here. Boom, let's see who's the best, and just go at it. I scratched my head like, why not? But I think it's great.
I'm cautiously hopeful, I guess, is my thing. Because I know Bolster sounded like a pretty good idea to me personally, in increasing accessibility and standardization of stats, making it more about skill. And it just had so many problems that were, you know, found in testing, and it went through. I'm cautious about that as a result, because I don't know how well an entirely new system with their current team of designers will work initially. You know what I mean? Like, I expect the arenas to be very buggy if they're put in at all. Now, it sounds very pessimistic, but I'm hopeful because the arenas would sound really cool. You know, I've always wanted to do that. From the very first day in the game, I was with two friends, you know, and I've always hoped that they would eventually have 3v3, because I feel like three players is like the perfect group. You can have a tank heals DPS and then just throw it against each other, see who comes out the winner, you know. And it's also a lot less objective based, and you have a fear of dying that heightens your adrenaline. You know, if you die, it's a bad thing because you're out of player and they don't come back, you know what I mean? So you can't just like sacrifice yourself. And it's just I don't know. I think it could be really, really good. It could be exactly the breath of fresh air that PvP needs. And it could honestly add a lot of sustainability to the game, because if they added arenas, then you were doing those a lot, then the battlegrounds would seem a little newer because you weren't doing those as much. And altogether, you might actually have a much better experience across the board. So it could be really good, or they could fail miserably. It's hard to know right now.
Well, and couldn't this be a really good thing for ranked, which is not queuing enough right now?
Yeah, and especially if they did something like a 4v4 arena. I like 3v3 better, but in thinking about it, a 4v4 would be good too, because you could queue simultaneously for ranked arenas and ranked war zones, and then be matched with other four groups of four teams. So you're always, you know, always going against other groups of four and other groups of eight that are composed of two groups of four, instead of going into the regular war zones and just owning people because you're the only people who have team speak. You know, it's just like,
yeah.
It gives the 4v4 champions, or gives the four player, the four groups of four champions a place to go. And that's something we haven't had right now. Is you might be able to find three friends in your guild that want to PvP, but finding seven is a lot more difficult. So that's my spiel.
Now, I mentioned this earlier, and by the time this airs, some people will already be have read it, hopefully. The Nothing Personal Guild that I interviewed this past week, and they're a PvP-oriented guild, and one of the things they mentioned is, would you like to see, not only with these arenas, but maybe a leaderboard and or maybe PvP-related quest that required you to win more matches a week than just what they are now?
I think that would be great. Honestly, and we were talking about this a little bit in the show beforehand, before the show, if they were to do arenas well, give us a couple maps, maybe three maps of arenas, even two maps with arenas could be good, because again, it's mostly about the competitiveness. You don't really need a whole lot of different types of things. Could be one, even, really, come to think of it. Just need somewhere to go with these three people or something. If they did arenas well and they fixed all the bugs in Bolster, you know, got all the stuff smoothed out and added leaderboards, you can basically call the game of PvP done, except for World PvP. But if they just honestly said, we're not going to do World PvP, it's just not feasible, this is what we're going to do, we're going to stick with this, and we're not going to add any more content for a good long time, I'd be okay with that, because leaderboards would absolutely enable people to have horizontal progression. Competitiveness between players is much stronger than loot in driving people. Loot factors into the competitiveness, if anything. So, absolutely, leaderboards would make the game.
Now, actually, I do have a bit of a concern going back on the just arenas in general. Now, a lot of times the PvP game, or specifically arenas, has a lot of influence on the PvE. That would be my concern. If they can do it without affecting the PvE side, maybe keep them separate, then I think it'd be definitely if they can find a way to do that, I think it'd be set. But I just hope that the balance that they try to work into arenas doesn't start to bleed over onto the PvE side, as many games have.
That is definitely a valid concern, because balance issues from arenas were very evident and in World of Warcraft, and so that did affect the rest of the game quite a bit. And part of the problem is that PvE and PvP abilities are the same for all intents and purposes. I mean,
yes.
They're exactly the same skills. What they need to do is make Bolster really, really affect, more so than gear even, really affect your performance in PvP. And what I mean by that is, if Sage heals are a little too strong, then they get less Bolster contribution to their heals.
Right, in the simple PvP environment. Yeah, that would bolster, the Bolster system would be an excellent way to balance that.
Yep.
There you go, BioWare.
Class-specific bolster systems. I mean, they've already got a really good gear-specific bolster system. If they could just tweak that a little bit and make it class-specific, then arena balancing would be absolutely no problem.
There you go, BioWare. We got it. Write that one down.
That's right. All right. Well, y'all know I'm not an arena fan, but I am hoping, against all hope, for our PvPers that love arenas, I hope that this is everything they want it to be. I mean, I'm serious, because they deserve it. Our poor PvPers have been kind of relegated to the back of the class.
This is true. I complain about 9 months, but how long has it been since anything new in PvP has been put out?
Long time.
Well, it will have been 10 months in October. And y'all did get Scum and Villainy, so the argument's slightly different. Even, I mean, you're having to rehash the old content again, but you have had a new operation recently,
right?
To be
right,
fair.
Yeah, exactly.
And so we haven't had anything except a flawed bolster system since Ancient Hypergates. So yeah, it was more like a kick to the crotch than it was a gift, you know.
I mean, how hard would it be? I mean, I'm sure people have already talked about it. How hard would it be to add new HUDball maps? I mean, endless possibilities there. Boom.
Well, the problem is, if you add a new HUDball map, you get twice as much HUDball. And for a lot of people, that's just it. That's the end
of
the game.
that's true. That you can actually, and then queue for whatever the games you want to play on. That's another thing.
Yeah, and that's something they've specifically said they don't want to do. So they have a lot of issues they have to work with based on things they've said, and it's a tricky thing.
You know, they've said they didn't want people to like click basically like which one they want to pug for. They do that in the PvE stuff. Why can't you do that in Warzones? Then when they find out, hey, nobody likes this Warzone, let's change it or get rid of it. You know,
that's a good idea, right? That's, I mean, what you're saying is completely logical and absolutely opposite of what they're doing.
I mean, they say they take all these stats and stuff, and they look at all this stuff of like where people are spending their time, what they're doing, but then they skew the stats by making you pug in war zones where you have no control on what you're going to get.
Yeah, and then some days you're just really not in the mood for yet another Ancient Hypergates, you know? You just really don't want to do it. And so, and then when you get it, you just like, and this is why people leave. It's why people quit early in the war zone. And I don't. I just deal through it, but usually it makes me log off right after, and it's kind of unfortunate, you know. I don't know. That is another thing. Again, quality of life improvements is one thing, but I think they don't need to add new content after arenas and leaderboards. I think that they would be good on content, even if they did no more new maps. But just a little quality of life things might not be a bad idea. Maybe fix resolve. I don't know.
Well, what did DD always say? Keep the player playing.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. They've been getting progressively worse at that recently.
Absolutely.
Well, anyway. Anything more on that?
Nope.
Okay. Let's move on to our quick mentions real quick. Like we have mentioned already, Jason has that great article with the PvP Guild, Nothing Personal, which I think is a great name for a PvP Guild. They have a lot of good info in there, not just an interview with the Guild, but they actually got to talk to some of the devs, so they have some good, interesting stuff to say. You should check that out. Look at all the rest of our articles on CRR. We have a lot of good writers on this. So I guess, Ghost, you're going to be discontinuing your column, essentially,
yeah,
right?
Unfortunately, that's going to have to be, since I don't have anything new to progress. I'll see if I can work on... I do have some video coverage that I have, so I might post a couple of things there, but they won't be anything new. But I guess position is open for someone who wants to take up the mantle.
All right, so yeah, send us a resume if you want to write raid stuff for us for going forward, and we'll miss Ghost. You'll always have a place with us, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so a little bit of happy news now. As you can tell by the fact that this is the 99th episode, next episode, go figure with math, is the 100th episode.
Woohoo!
And we've got some special stuff going on. So we are recording the 100th episode on July 13th, and which is approximately 2 weeks from today-ish, somewhere in there, a little bit longer. But we are going to have not just one, nor two, but not even three, four co-hosts in addition to Carla.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be me as usual, but special guests and returning from the past, podcast past, is Dee Dee, Roxanne, and Kathy. So it's going to be awesome. And you'll definitely have to listen to it. But the reason I tell you the date that we're recording is right after we're finished at 8 o'clock Central Time on the Shadowlands server in the Drummond Cost Cantina, we are going to be having a party.
Yay, party!
Yay! Woo. I want to try and make that.
Server crash, no.
Yeah, hopefully we don't crash the server. I don't know. We'll see how many people come.
Come on, guys. Let's see how many people can get out and crash the server. Come on.
We will be giving away some stuff. I plan on giving away a couple cartel packs, so you should definitely show up and see what we can do for you. I think it'll be a lot of fun. We'll just be celebrating Carillion Run's 100th episode and just some good times in Star Wars. If nothing else, we'll just have some duels or something. I don't know. It'll be awesome. So I'll be there. Carla, you'll be there, right?
Absolutely. I would not miss it, you guys. Let's see how many people we can gather up between Tour Wars Guild and Old Republic Dads, and because they have an Empire, you know, evil. They have an evil side. And all the old timers and all you listeners out there, for our Carillion Run Radio, please come out, make a tune. We put it on a newbie planet, so there's no excuse for you not to come.
Make an agent. You'll thank me later.
yes.
We'll also have a custom chat channel. I think we'll make it CRR, probably, for Carillion Run Radio. I'll put it in Twitter, so just to make sure everyone knows. And that'll be good. That'll help people find us if we're on different layers or something like that. So, all right. Is there anything else on that?
I can't think of a doggone thing. Please take a moment to leave us a positive review on iTunes. That's how we move up the iTunes ladder. And seriously, people, we would love to hear from you. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and Zune. And you can also find us on the Ego Networks at egonetworks.com.
And you can contact us through our website, CarillionRun.com, or on Twitter or Facebook. You can leave us a voicemail on our SpeakPipe app on the website. You can leave your questions or ideas for discussion topics on Twitter or by email at CarillionRun@gmail.com. And don't forget to listen to our sister station, TorWars.com.
Well, that wraps it up for us here at Carillion Run Radio. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you again next time. Until next time, I'm Carla.
And I'm Drew. May the Force be with you, or keep that blaster at your side, kid.
All right. You have been listening to Corellian Run Radio, a Star Wars The Old Republic podcast. Tune in next time to hear John say,
I'll be back.
End transmission.